16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take the dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the planet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? Turns out, that story was way bigger than just an optical illusion. It's a cautionary tale about the decline of clickbait sites, the rise of algorithms and internet polarization, and the end of fun on the internet. Seriously, and that's just one story. We're giving every character their 16th minute. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
I remember my first night on the show. It was wild. I auditioned on, a Friday, and they told me, come back 4 days later with a suit. Because they had no money to pay for the suits. And luckily, I had one suit because I had gotten married a few months earlier. And I came back with a suit, and the day was bonkers. I arrived, and oddly enough, it was the day Crimea was invaded. And I know. We actually know where that place is now. Because I didn't that morning, and I showed up. And I went to this morning meeting, which is an amazing thing at The Daily Show. So many funny, thoughtful people in a room, and I get thrown in there, and it's such a welcoming place. And there's Jon Stewart, somebody I've watched since I was very little. He's very old and decrepit. Also very short, small man, wise beyond his years, but many years. And we were talking about Crimea and all of these things, and they're like, Jordan, you're going to do a chat. You're going to do that tonight? We're going to talk about this. Let's go. And you brainstorm some ideas for the chat. And remember, they bring me into John's office, like, right after the meeting. And I'm very nervous. I don't know how this day works. And we sit down, and John starts talking about not only what happened, but essentially he's talking about the commentary that's been written in the morning about what already happened in that room. And I'm sitting across from him with a few other people. Jen Flans is over there right now, EP showrunner. She's in that room as well. She's the best. And there's a reason these shows can still run like they do with a different host every week, and it's because of the team that we have here at The Daily Show. And I remember he's talking about all these things with Crimea, and I just keep thinking, I don't know where Crimea is. I don't know. And then we usher off, and we brainstorm jokes and bits around the Crimea invasion, and it's fun. It's a wild day. The chat comes up, and you go into a rewrite right before you come on out there, and you go one last time over it. And the process for a chat, essentially, the idea of this chat was John is throwing to their first-time correspondent who's in Crimea, and he's overwhelmed by the experience. Truth in comedy, it's always the best way to go. And I remember in the rewrite, you're in this small room, and you're throwing jokes out there, and John opened up of like, how would you react here? And I said, I'd say like, I don't want to disappoint you, Dad. And it made him laugh because that's how I was feeling in that room at that moment. I don't want to disappoint you, Dad. And he was like, that's good. I'm like, that was the first joke I got on the show. And he's like, all right, we ready to do this? And you don't waste time at The Daily Show. When you like print the script, it's like, great, we're on in 20 minutes. And so he comes out, I go back, my brain is spinning. I've been doing comedy and entertainment for 15 years, but never had a break anywhere near this. Been living in poverty up until this point. I'm like, holy shit, I'm on The Daily Show. I'm about to be on The Daily Show. I'm looking through the script, looking through the script. John comes out, I'm right back there, and I'm looking through the script. He says, like, we have something special happening today. We have a new correspondent. We don't have that very often. I'm getting nervous, and Born to Run starts to play, which was the song he always played before he came out. And then he's like, you guys ready for a good show? They say yes. He says, welcome to The Daily Show. And he runs back. And we just had this little one-on-one moment. He just says, don't fuck it up. And I remember, like, he came back out there and right back there, like, tears. Because it was so much. This industry, it's hard, it's tough, and you're rarely in such supportive rooms like this. And for every break that you get, 10 other people don't get it who are worthy of that exact same break. And in that moment, I was like, there's so much emotion right now in this space. And I remember, like, tears. I'm like, you can't cry. You're on TV in 3 minutes. Pulling it all together, coming on out, and nervously doing my first chat from right over there. So to get a chance to be here on a day like today with you guys and share that, it's real special. Thank you.
For more on the story, we're joined by our new senior Caucasian correspondent, Jordan Klepper. Jordan, thank you for joining us on the program. We appreciate you joining us. Jordan, welcome to the show, first of all. We're excited to have you. You are in Crimea. Obviously, you have studied this region for years.
Yes, that is 100% true. Okay, as you know, the Crimean Peninsula is ethnically Russian. Mm-hmm. Now, it's important to remember a peninsula is a landmass surrounded on three sides by water, unlike an island or an isthmus. Now, the Crimean Peninsula is dependent on Russia for most of their natural resources.
Actually, they're dependent on the Ukraine for most of their natural resources.
Right, right. Stupid. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that. I'm not going to fail you, Dad. John.
It's all right, Jordan. It's all right. It's fine.
Okay.
Just relax. How are the people feeling?
They're scared, John. Real scared. A little sweaty.
Because they have ties to both the Ukraine and Russia? Is that...
Sure. I mean, if you'd asked them a week ago, would you like to be a part of Russia? They would have been like, yes! Russia's my favorite! I'd love to join Russia! I watch Russia every night! But now they don't know what they've gotten themselves into, you know, and they think, maybe I've gotten a little bit in over my head!
Look, just say, it's fine. You're doing fine. Stay focused. What have you learned so far today?
You have to dial 9 to get an outside line. Lunch is at 1. And if I keep my head down here for a couple of years, I've got a real shot at my own sitcom on NBC. You were talking about Crimea,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm blowing it!
No, you're
I'm
not blowing it. Everything's fine. You're in Crimea.
Yes.
Now, obviously, it's daybreak there.
Oh, actually, I'm going to stop you there, John. It's 6:15 at night. Although, obviously, we are pretending it's 11:15, which in Crimea is 6:15 in the morning, where I'm supposed to be. Dad, I am so sorry.
No,
I'm so sorry.
You're not. You're doing great.
Okay.
There's almost nothing you can do to mess up one of these reports. Trust me.
Thank you. That's... Oh. I mean... This is kind of a big deal for me, John. You know? This means a lot to me. And my parents are watching at home, you know? Stay clean and sober, Jordan, you know? And that record will get expunged. Just keep to it, work hard. You know?
Yeah. Think you could go back to Crimea, or is that...
Right. Yes. You got it, boss. Right again. Yes, sir. Live from Crimea.
Jordan Klepper, everybody. We'll be right back. Jordan Klepper.
16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take the dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the internet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? But there's way more to this story than that. The dress went viral in early 2015, marking one of the last months that the internet could still be fun. It was just before Trump declared his candidacy for president and polarized an already polarized internet. It was just shy of people deciding what went viral instead of algorithms. And it was just shy of celebrities realizing that they should never, ever tweet. It's more than a character of the day. It's an entire moment in time bottled in a little, well, either blue and black or white and gold package. I'm not relitigating it again. You cannot make me. And that's just one story. We've got a million. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. And we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's start with some breaking news. Apparently, widespread lying and deceit may have some consequences.
And we are back with our breaking news coverage. Just as opening statements were set to begin in what was going to be a historic trial, Dominion Voting Systems suing Fox for defamation, lawyers on both sides reached a settlement, an absolutely enormous settlement. A lawyer for Dominion announced that Fox would be paying Dominion $787,500,000.
Wow. Wow. $787 million. That is a ton of money. And Fox was already strapped for cash. Tucker Carlson can only afford one facial expression. And look, I'm glad there's some accountability here, but still, I'm pretty disappointed we're not going to get a trial because all the Fox anchors would have been forced to testify. It would have been like the Seinfeld finale, but instead of soup Nazis, it's just... Nazis. Since Fox is going to have to pay nearly $1 billion, they'll need to implement cost-cutting measures. Sadly, they have to fire Brian Kilmeade's reading tutor. Jeanine Pirro has to switch to the cheap box of wine. Development on a third Ducey has been halted. They're going to have to switch from Jesse Waters to Tap Waters. And, of course, they're going to have to put down Sean Hannity. This weekend was the National NRA Convention, also known as Cargo Pants Comic-Con, or the Westminster Stepdad Show. Now, people like to stereotype NRA members as gun-obsessed whack jobs who want to arm little babies. And the thing about stereotypes is sometimes they're spot on.
I've got three kids, two son-in-laws, and did you know that I'm also a grandmother? Not just once, but twice. Have two beautiful grandchildren. Little Miss Addie, who is almost two, and Branch, who's just a few months old. Now, Addie, who, you know, soon will need them, I want to reassure you, she already has a shotgun and she already has a rifle. And she's got a little pony named Sparkles, too, so the girl is set up.
Wow. That's the governor of South Dakota bragging about her two-year-old granddaughter owning guns. Bold. When my kid was little, I was covering outlets, locking cabinets, and cutting grapes in half because they might be a choking hazard. Christy Noem is like, here's a shotgun. You're on watch tonight. Six separate Tyrannus. Look, I know liberals and conservatives don't agree on much, but can we agree that you should not own a gun if you don't know how to poop in a potty? Although it is adorable that she has a pony named Sparkles. In fact, if you'll excuse me for a second, I need to address Sparkles directly. Sparkles, this will not end well for you. These people are clearly insane. Run while you still can. There is no time for goodbyes. Go! Go, my friend, go! Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, look. To be clear, I'm not bringing up Christy Noem just to make fun of her grandkids. I would never do that. They've got guns. I'm bringing up Christy Noem because she gave us a great insight into what creates the worldview of an NRA member.
My dad taught us life lessons. He taught us common sense, and often those were taught during our hunting trips. For instance, I remember being only about 9 or 10 years old, And we had hunted all day, miles and miles from camp in the high country in the Bighorn Mountains, when my dad turned to me and he said, "Christy, hunt your way back to camp. I'm going to go around this ridge and I'll meet you there at dark." And he disappeared over the ridge. Now, to a 10-year-old girl, this was terrifying. And as strange noises came and darkness fell, I had to rely on my instincts and my horse to find my way back to our tent. Now, years later, Mom shared with me that my dad had followed me at a safe distance all the way back to camp to make sure that I got there safe. Now, before you get all warm and fuzzy on him, I also want to tell you that he made bear noises the whole time he was following me. Scratching trees and growling at me, so, you know.
What an adorable story about alcoholism. Excuse me one second. Seriously, Sparkles, this family is nuts. Get out of there. Trust no one. Let's move on to something else that's quintessentially American. People losing their shit on airplanes.
We turn now to a Southwest passenger's outburst over a crying baby that forced the plane to land before its destination.
Who are that baby's for?
This morning, it's a midair meltdown of epic proportions aboard one Southwest flight, not just from the baby on board, but also from an adult passenger.
We are in a tin can with a baby in a goddamn echo chamber, and you want to talk to me about being...
Okay, because you're yelling.
So is the baby!
So is the baby? I don't care what the situation is, that is never a strong argument. Oh, so a baby can poop its pants in public, but I'm getting thrown out of this TJ Maxx? Yeah, this guy totally lost it. I mean, somebody should have checked their emotional baggage. It's Southwest, that's an extra $50.
Other states are waging kind of wars against different, you know, parts of their population. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of politicians just want to pick fights and get headlines, and whether it's picking a fight with Mickey Mouse or moving backwards to the, you know, early 1900s, it's so much easier to show up and to listen to people and know what really matters. So we're trying to make Michigan a place where every business can thrive and every person has rights and freedoms to make their own decisions and to live the life they want and be successful here in Michigan.
You're progressive on guns, on abortion rights. It feels like the Michigan hand, it's a welcoming hand.
It is, it's freedom.
It's freedom. If Michigan has a hand, what is Florida? That looks like a...
What?
I mean, it looks like a...
Okay, I'm not going there.
I'm just saying, and it's...
One peninsula.
It's one peninsula that's urinating on our democracy, at times.
Your words.
My words, fair. Luckily, there are people out there doing the hard work of real investigative journalism. People like Bruce Willingham. He runs the McCurtain Gazette News out of middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. Now, Bruce suspected that the local sheriff and other officials were doing county business after meetings ended. So he secretly recorded them. And when he played the tape back, he heard them talking about him and his son, who is also a reporter, and it was not flattering.
The recordings captured the group talking about hiring hitmen to kill the reporters and where the bodies could be hidden.
I know two or three hitmen that were very quiet guys.
Yeah.
And would cut no mercy.
Yeah.
Well, I know where two big deep holes are here in Eagle.
I got that better.
These are pre dug.
Oh, holy shit. You can't threaten to kill journalists in a council meeting. Keep that shit on Twitter like a normal person. Although you can tell that some people were a little more integral to this plot than others, because one guy was like, "I know two hitmen." And another guy is like, "And I know two holes." Yeah, thanks for the contribution, Larry. We'll let you know if we need to use your connection with the holes. And by the way, how strapped for time are people in this town that they have to pre-dig murder holes? Are you so f***ing busy that you can't do the hole after you do the murder? Or maybe it's like carrying an umbrella. Like, the day you don't have the hole is when you end up killing someone. Now look, it would be bad enough if plotting to throw local journalists into holes, pre-dug or otherwise, was all that the county sheriff and his friends were caught doing on these tapes. But guess what? They moved on to something else.
On that same audio recording, the people talking shared their dismay that lynching black people is no longer acceptable.
I'm going to tell you something. If we're back in the days, would that take a damn black guy, whoop their ass and throw them in the cell? I'd run the sheriff.
Yeah. Well, it's not like that no more.
I know. Take them down here on a mud creek and hang them up with the damn rope.
Yeah.
But you can't do that.
Think about it,
they got more rights than we got.
Wow. Someone tell these cops that they have the right to remain silent. And you could tell this thing was going to go badly as soon as they said back in the day. No sentence in the South ever goes well after the phrase back in the day. It's never like back in the day we lived in a rich multicultural tapestry. What's crazy is these reporters weren't even looking for racism and assassination plots. They were hoping to catch improper meeting procedures. It's like if you put a security camera up in the office to see which employee was stealing your yogurts and you caught them doing a human sacrifice. You'd be like, oh my God, I've stumbled upon the most unholy rituals and oh my God, they're eating my chobani! You're gonna hopefully sell that inside?
Yes.
Do you need a license? Can you just kind of go into the gun show and...
You try to find somebody that wants to buy it or you find what you want to buy.
And then if somebody's like, I'm interested, I'll buy it, then what do you do?
First of all, you kind of like look them over.
Is that what a background check is here in Tulsa?
I mean, this isn't where people are going to come to maliciously get guns, mostly.
Why not? I guess if I was like, I need to get a gun quick to do bad shit, this is actually exactly where I would come. How much is that going for?
About 900.
What if I came up there and was like, I don't know, I had a little bit of a rough day. My wife just broke up with me. I'm feeling a little on edge. How much for your gun?
Well, I ain't gonna sell it to somebody that looks stupid, you know, or looks like he's, like, crazy as shit, you know.
What if I say the words of somebody who's crazy as shit, but I look composed like I do right now?
Yeah, I'd probably sell it to you.
Now, I don't want to spend every day this week talking about guns, but this is America, and it's not giving me a choice. Because maybe you've noticed that a lot of this week's gun violence had something in common.
They are the things that happen all the time. A mixed up address, pulling into the wrong driveway, or confusing one car from another. Yet remarkably, for a third time in a week, seemingly innocent moments of confusion have led to bloodshed. From Kansas City, where a teen who approached the wrong doorstep is recovering from two bullet wounds, to New York State, where a 20-year-old woman was fatally shot after the car she was in accidentally drove up the wrong driveway. And now in Elgin, Texas, a high school cheerleader has been shot and seriously wounded after her friend apparently approached the wrong car.
Police say Peyton Washington and Heather Roth were in a parking lot when Roth opened a car she thought was one of their own and saw a man inside. Roth says the man started firing as she was apologizing.
Does anyone else watching these stories feel like they're losing their goddamn minds? Yeah. I mean, call me old-fashioned, but whatever happened to asking a person one f***ing question? Are you confused about why a stranger is at your house? Before you open fire, open your mouth and just ask them, can I help you? It's not that hard. Look, I know you have Second Amendment rights, America, but you also have First Amendment rights. Use them. See, we're paying attention to them now. We pay attention now because a few of them happened in 1 week. But what's wild is these wrong place shootings happen all the time. Because America is a country where every day too many people are armed, scared, and end up using lethal force because Google Maps didn't update. I mean, what does it say when the most dangerous job in America is Jehovah's Witness? You know what? You know how bad things have gotten? Remember that couple in St. Louis, the McCloskeys? A couple of years ago, they went out onto their front yard and pointed their guns at protesters. And they got a lot of shit for it. But you know what? They didn't fire at anybody. And I never thought I'd say this, but please, America, be more like these gun nuts. But we haven't been showing men what they should be. And that matters to young boys who are looking for an identity, for a narrative about what it means to be a man. And that vacuum is being filled by people with the worst possible idea of manhood.
Former kickboxer and Big Brother contestant Andrew Tate, infamous for being the self-proclaimed king of toxic masculinity. Tate's core message centers around the belief that masculinity is in the crosshairs, and he's defending it. His target audience, young men.
This whole idea of being toxically masculine is complete garbage.
I think the most dangerous men on earth are the weak men.
Feel, 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 feel. Leave the feelings to the girls, right? That's what they do. We act. We're men of action.
Empowering females is the easiest way to weaken the will of men.
Study, study, study. Give up your whole life in school. Then you get to be a doctor. You can't even buy a motherfucking sports car.
The problem with most of you is that I am sitting here with my sunglasses, bald head, millions of dollars, nearly unmatched fighting skills. I am Morpheus.
I need action. I need constant chaos in my life to feel content. I need to be driving a supercar and fighting a bunch of champagne and going crazy.
Okay, 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 we get it. You have a small penis. I mean, even through the video, you can tell this guy wears too much cologne. And by the way, not to tarnish his sparkling image, but Andrew Tate is currently under investigation for human trafficking. I know, it's always the first one you suspect. Now, maybe you don't know Andrew Tate. Maybe you're thinking, who is this porn parody Vin Diesel? You may not know him, but trust me, your sons do.
With over 13 billion views on TikTok, Tate's rhetoric is moving from online to the classroom.
So I'm a teacher, and I teach sixth grade. The amount of young 11-year-old boys that have told me that they love Andrew Tate is ridiculous.
One teacher says she hears blatant misogyny from the boys in her class, hearing them say that girls belong in the kitchen and only exist for reproduction. And another claiming they talk about alphas in sixth grade now.
One teacher in South London noticed that his students were parroting Tate's ideology. About a third of the 30 students in the class passionately argued that women were responsible for their own sexual assaults, one of Tate's top lines.
Wow, times have really changed. When I was in sixth grade, the most toxic role model for boys was Michelangelo. He eats pizza for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That turtle doesn't give a f-. I mean, seriously, how can you be misogynistic in sixth grade? That's like the 1 year in life where all the girls are bigger than you. I wouldn't be running my mouth about Allison if Allison could hang me by my underwear on the flagpole. The solution to this problem is not to cancel Andrew Tate. Interpol is probably going to do that for us. Because even if he disappeared, even if he disappeared, someone else would take his place and spew toxic shit at young boys just as well. And social media algorithms would pump it into young boys' eyes and ears just as fast. Because that's really all this is about. Andrew Tate is not interested in being a role model. He wants clicks for money. He doesn't want to raise your son. He's taken dad's seat at the table, but he's really the loudmouth uncle. That uncle who seems cool when you're a kid, but when you grow up, you realize living in a hotel is not a vacation.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Take The Dress. Most people remember it as an optical illusion that went viral, asking everyone on the planet, is this dress blue and black or white and gold? Turns out, that story was way bigger than just an optical illusion. It's a cautionary tale about the decline of clickbait sites, the rise of algorithms and internet polarization, and the end of fun on the internet. Seriously, and that's just one story. We're giving every character their 16th minute. So listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.